When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than their worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. Ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Currents issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members of FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
Football Social Daily.
Hello and welcome to the Football Social Daily Premier League podcast. We're approaching the final straight, squeaky bum time, no mistakes, error territory, whatever you want to call it. We are right in the business end of the Premier League season. It's all been kind of busy over the last couple of weeks, but we're slowly getting back to a bit of normality, and that includes football. We're back up to full schedules of weekend football, which is absolutely brilliant for all of us that love to cram in as many games as possible over the weekend, and that's definitely the case in the next couple of days. We've got five games today. I'm so excited I can't even remember what day of the week it is. We've got five games today, four games tomorrow, and then one on Monday night, and we've got so much to get through here on the Football Social Daily Premier League podcast that we're going to jump straight into the action. My name's Fergal Brennan and I'm joined today by Ty Marshall, senior football writer for the Manchester Evening News. Ty, how are we?
Hello, I'm very well, thank you.
Very good stuff. And we also have Jonathan Smith, Manchester City correspondent for Goal.com. Jonathan, how are you?
I'm good, yeah. I'm back in lockdown, unfortunately, but I've got 2 weeks of self-isolation, so I was supposed to be going to Brighton today, so but stuck at home.
Oh dear. Well, there you go. We think it's the rich and famous that have kept an eye on during coronavirus. Yeah. But even our own Jonathan is not subject to his own wills. And he is back in lockdown, apparently. Big news for the sports social team. Right, we're going to get started. The two early games today are involving teams at the wrong end of the table. Norwich City at home to West Ham and Watford at home to Newcastle. We're going to start with Norwich against West Ham. I think we can kind of all universally agree that Norwich are gone. That'll be rubber stamped today if they don't beat West Ham. They're essentially hanging on by a thread. So we're going to focus on West Ham for this one. Now, for me, they just don't seem to be able to do enough to forget about the magic 40-point mark, but do enough to just completely end any conversations of relegation. Ty, I'm going to go to you first on this one. Given the fact that they've had a few chances in the last couple of weeks to get that win, I'm not talking about Chelsea, you know, the old adage, you don't avoid relegation by beating teams in the top four, you avoid it by beating teams around you. Have they missed their last big chance to keep it in their own hands, given the games they've got to come?
Well, I mean, they've got you'd have to think today is going to be a victory for them. You know, Norwich are a little bit unfortunate in that they've just become the whipping boy for everyone, really. Even throwing away a lead at Watford last week was a damning indictment of their season, really. And at the moment, it feels like Watford and Norwich are basically just a free 3 points for the opposition. And I mean, if West Ham don't win this one, I think they'll certainly be getting very nervous, and understandably so. In mid, they were particularly poor in midweek. That they started well enough against Burnley, but then kind of tailed off. And that was the kind of game they'd have been looking at against a team who don't have a great deal to play for. They'd have been looking at expecting 3 points. It's the defeat there has certainly put the pressure on this one, and you know, they will be well aware of how important this game is to their survival chances. That 40-point mark you mentioned is kind of become the accepted norm for survival now, and you hear managers trotting it out at the start of every season. But in reality, if you get 40 points these days, you're probably finishing about 15th, There's, you know, it very rarely takes 40 points these days. It's normally 35, 36. So one win for West Ham and they're probably very close to being safe, and they will feel confident they can get it today. But I think the defeat in midweek has certainly put the pressure on them for this one.
Jonathan, when we look at these situations and we talk about teams in the relegation zone, and we say how they need a goal scorer and they need a solid spine and a keeper that's not going to throw one into the back of the net, West Ham don't seem to have a player that you'll go, he's got that bit of magic, or he's got that reliability in front of goal to make sure that on the final day, Hammers fans are not sitting there and thinking, are we going back to the Championship? Who would you pick out in that team that you think has got that bit of inspiration that could pull them out of it? Or am I right in saying that they don't, and that this time next week or in 2 weeks' time, there's the potential that they could be staring a return to the Championship in the face?
I think they've got one or two players who can pull out a bit of magic. You know, I'm a big fan of Mikel Antonio. He missed a few chances against Burnley. He missed chances in a game against Chelsea as well. But at least he's creating chances, and that's always the thing at the bottom. If you're not getting many chances, the pressure's even greater to take them. They scored three against Chelsea, none against Burnley, but that's a decent record. Also, Lanzini, you know, he's back, I think, to face Norwich today. He can create a little bit of magic. Yarmolenko, the way he took that goal against Chelsea as well. I don't think they've got one outstanding forward. They've got individuals who can make the difference in individual games. Haller hasn't been great. I don't think you could say he's been a success. Maybe this is the time for him to step up and really show why West Ham spent such a lot of money on him.
But given the fact that, as Ty mentioned before, when you're looking at these games, if you're in a relegation battle, you want to be playing against teams with nothing to play for, that kind of ninth down to 14th that are safe but are not in danger of pushing for Europe. West Ham have lost that chance now with, you know, the game against Burnley and Newcastle, that they could only get a point from a potential six there. Now they've got Norwich, who are still theoretically in the race, Watford, who are scrapping for their lives. Then they've got to go to United, who are banging form and pushing for the top four. And then the final day, it could be a playoff at home to Aston Villa. We're going to focus on the Norwich game in just a second, but Jonathan, we'll do a quick prediction on points wise. When you look at those four games coming, where do you see the points coming from? How many points do you think they can get between now and the end of the season?
I think you're really looking, well, I put them down for a win today, so I would put them down for a win against Villa as well, so I think 6 points, and I think that'll be enough. You look at the form of everyone else down there. I mean, West Ham have only won one since lockdown, but that makes them the form side of the teams who were really fighting to survive, so I think they'll do enough.
So you go for six, nothing against Watford or United?
Yeah, that's what I would go for.
Okay. Ty, would you follow that, given the fact that, as I say, they're in a position where it's not an ideal last few games they'd want to be playing against, as I say, maybe Newcastle and Burnley again, although maybe not based on the last time they met Burnley a few days ago. Do you think they've got enough? Do you see there being enough points from those four games?
I would think so, yeah. Like Jonathan says, apart from that game away at United, their running is, like I say, although they're playing teams that are fighting for their lives, they are fighting for their lives as well in theory. And, you know, they are above Watford and Villa and Norwich in the table for a reason. They might only be just above them, but they are above them for a reason. The fact they've got Watford and Villa at home will be encouraging to them. And like I say, Norwich, wherever you play them, is feels like a gimme at the moment. So, I mean, it would be no great surprise if they won all three, apart from United. But there's also that thought that if they do lose today, then the pressure is really going to ratchet up on them. And that is, you know, that would be a concern for them. But I think if they win today, then I wouldn't be surprised if they got decent results against Watford and Villa as well. So I think in terms of if the pressure for them going into the last few games, then, it, you know, that today will make a big difference. But I think, you know, like Jonathan says, the form that the teams down there have been in, the form that Bournemouth and Villa have been in, it would be no great surprise if one win and a win today was enough for them, frankly.
Well, I think we're going for a clean sweep for West Ham to stay up. I fancy them to just skim it. Are we going for 3-for-3 to win here and goodbye Norwich?
Yeah, I think so. I can't see. I mean, Norwich have played well in a couple of games, but they just haven't come back from lockdown particularly well. They just don't seem to have any goals in them at the moment. Everything to play for West Ham. They'll be right up for this, so I think they'll win it today.
Ty?
Yes, I would agree. I think West Ham will have too much for them.
Yeah, I think it's bye-bye Canaries. I think we can all be agreed on that. Apologies, Norwich City fans. We have enjoyed you on the show and in patches this season, but I think the road has come to an end. One other team in action in the early kickoff, as you mentioned at the start of the show, is Watford at home to Newcastle. Watford, for me, are in an almost identical situation to West Ham. They can't seem to get that win that makes them safe. Obviously, wonder goal from Welbeck to beat Norwich, as Ty said, that everyone's beaten at the moment. But Pearson's expected kind of, we've got enough, we've got the experience. You look at Pearson, he's got a bit of a reputation as a relegation specialist. Ty, should we be worried about them as well? Or do we see this as being an almost identical situation to West Ham, that they should have enough?
Yeah, again, you would think they probably should have enough compared to where they were when Pearson came in over a longer period. They've obviously been the more impressive of the sides down there, although that has stalled slightly recently. Again, it's one of those where the Newcastle game today is an interesting one, in that Newcastle haven't got a lot to play for, but that's kind of almost given Newcastle a bit of freedom. And we saw what they did to Bournemouth, when Bournemouth probably thought that was a real chance for them to get 3 points. So that's an interesting one today. And again, it's one of those that if they lose, the pressure really comes on, with the fact they've got West Ham on Friday. So you would think they would have just about enough. They've got decent players in that squad. They've obviously got a lot of leadership on field and with Deeney and off field with Nigel Pearson. So again, I would think they do have enough. And again, I think a win today would really put the bottom three, or Bournemouth and Villa at least, in really big trouble.
Jonathan, would you follow that? You know, we talked about run-ins, obviously Newcastle at home today, then a bit of a relegation playoff away at West Ham. But if there's not positive results gained from those two games, you expect it to be taken out of Watford's hands, given the fact they've got Manchester City at home and Arsenal away to end the season. It's do or die for Nigel Pearson, really, against Newcastle today.
It feels like a really big game for them. It feels like you say, that you look at those fixtures coming up, this is, on paper, the one that is the most winnable. And not only that, the time of the season it's coming, this would move them away. You know, Villa and Norwich, they just can't pick up wins anywhere. Moving 6 points clear, you think that's just going to put the pressure on them and Bournemouth. I mean, I've been a little bit surprised about Watford since they came back from lockdown. You know, big fan of Nigel Pearson. He got them going before the break, and they've not really hit that form. You know, patchy results. A defeat at home to Southampton. I watched them against Norwich and they really struggled. It was a really nervous victory. They got over the line thanks to that goal from Danny Welbeck. Absolutely brilliant goal. So they've got to get it together. Just pull out 90 minutes today and you think that's going to be enough to clear them out of the bottom three. And they can go into that West Ham game then with almost a free pass to pick up a point that should be enough. I think 4 points from their last four games would be enough to see them safe.
Ty, we'll flick this back over to you to do the relegation predictions on this one. As I say, four games, two that are going to be particularly difficult to wrap up the season. Given the points that are available, given the situation that they're in, Jonathan's tipping Watford to survive. You said it yourself. But when you look at the fixtures, are you still as confident?
I think a lot depends on today. I think if they get a win today, then yes. But I think if they lose today, then, like I say, those last two games, they'll be well aware how difficult those last two games are. And realistically, you know, they're probably going to get 0 points from them. So that does kind of make West Ham on Friday do or die if they don't pick up a result today. Like Jonathan says, I've been a bit surprised at the way they've played since they came back. I'd have thought Pearson would have really had them going in this period and really had them ready, and they'd have clawed their way out of it fairly comfortably, but that hasn't been the case. I do still think they'll just about get over the line, but I think for Watford, it's all dependent on the next two games rather than the final two games.
So just to check, because we're not going to do any spoiler alerts, there's not really any teams that we're going to be covering later in the show that are involved in the relegation scrap. Are we going collectively for the bottom three to stay as it is?
I was going to agree with Ty, yeah. Those are the three.
You're not giving any lifeboat to Bournemouth or Villa?
They've just not come back from lockdown with any sort of form. I watched Villa against United and they started quite well, created a couple of chances. They just look at the back, they look wide open. And when United got it going, it just seemed like they would concede at any moment. And without goals coming at the other end, you know, it's just, that's just the recipe for relegation, isn't it? So unless they can pull something around quickly, and there's no sign of that, I don't give them much of a chance.
Fair enough, fair enough. The hammer has come down. Those are the three teams that are going down, according to the Saturday team on the Football Social Daily Premier League podcast. One team that I think is fairly safe from relegation is Liverpool. They're at home to Burnley today. Now, we've all talked enough about Liverpool, I think, in the last couple of weeks. I think it's the only focus for them now is, can they break Manchester City's record? So we're going to have a quick look at Burnley, who've been impressive post-lockdown, recovered from that 5-0 defeat against Manchester City, and it's been 1-0, 1-0, 1-all and 1-0 since then. Now, I'm going to get this printed on T-shirts. Burnley gonna Burnley. No team, when they need a 1-0 win, even away from home, is as good at getting it as Burnley. They are absolutely excellent when they need to get a point. We talked about Pearson a second ago for Watford, and obviously Moyes with West Ham, and expectations that we have of these managers. For me, in that sort of a scenario, the only person that consistently meets their objectives is Dyche, and he has done exactly that. And now we're in a situation where Burnley could possibly get a Europa League spot. Now, Ty, you've had a long-held love affair with Burnley Football Club and with Sean Dyche, so I think it's only fair that we ask you about this. How impressed have you been with Burnley in the context of a very strange post-lockdown setup for Premier League football? They've managed to perform under pressure and do exactly what they needed to do, and with quite a few injuries for Dyche to deal with.
Yeah, I mean, what they've done and what Dyche has done since that Man City game is, I mean, I think it's absolutely astonishing. I think the start of that City game, they obviously got thumped there. They had no options on the bench. They had senior players who were leaving. The you know, Dyche and the chairman basically at open warfare. It was a complete disaster, and at that point you looked at them and looked at all the injuries and thought, they're just going to fall, they're going to fall apart here. They've had more injuries since then. They've still got no options on the bench. They're still fielding two goalkeepers on the bench. There's hardly any senior players to bring off the bench, and somehow they're picking up wins and draws, and you know they're on Tottenham and Arsenal's coattails. I think it's been absolutely incredible, to be honest, and it's a real sort of feather in the cap for Dyche and what he does. They obviously don't play great football, and I think that's what's always held him back from getting another job, and the football they played recently hasn't been great, but it shows that he can organise a defence. One of those games, I think the draw came without Ben Mee. You know, it just shows what he can do, and I think after that City game, I think everyone, you know, didn't fear they would get dragged into a relegation battle, but I think everyone expected them to fall away and finish 14th or 15th, and the way they've steadied the ship and picked up points, you know, it's been amongst the best 3 weeks that Dyche has probably had at Burnley, despite qualifying for Europe and the promotions, to have done it in this scenario with the backs to the wall, as it were, and like I say, senior players leaving, but also those players in the dressing room who were staying, who were asking questions of them and wondering why their mates weren't getting new deagles, to fight through all that and put together this run of form is absolutely exceptional.
Jonathan, as Ty said, they've put themselves in a position to be on the back of Arsenal and Wolves and Tottenham and Sheffield United that are scrapping for a Europa League place. There is a little bit of an argument to be made here that Dyche might be unhappy if they do get into Europe, given the fact that, as Ty mentioned, there's issues over numbers that they're going to be able to call on, the fact that Europa League really does take a lot out of a thin squad. If Burnley do complete this, will Dyche actually be a bit annoyed, do you think?
Well, I think getting into Europe is a reward for a good season. You know, it shows how good they are, that the thought of being able to play against the best sides in Europe, and that should be looked at as something to look forward to, not as a punishment. And there's every reason that they can get into Europe. You know, you look at the sides above them. Spurs are falling apart. Arsenal are inconsistent, and then you're sort of chasing down Sheffield United, Wolves. You never know, they could make it, and why not go for it? I mean, obviously the argument is it starts stretching the squad. Sean Dyche hasn't got a lot of depth. You know, you look at the defence without Ben Mee today. Kevin Long's come in for the last game, and I think it was something like his first start since 2018. So, you know, they do have a very thin squad, and that season they had in Europe previously, which started very early, I think it was around sort of early to mid July, and they found themselves in a bit of trouble on the back of that, and ended up in a bit of a relegation scrap, which is something we haven't seen in the seasons when they've not been in Europe. But you know, you have to see what the expectations are, and why not go for Europe? It's part of the entertainment. It's part of what Burnley have been down in the lower leagues for years and years. They're now enjoying a really exciting period, and why not have these trips into Europe? And obviously, it's sad that the fans won't be able to be part of it, but they can still enjoy it and still get some of these glamour ties against the best sides in the continent. Why not?
But with that in mind, Ty, does it slightly go against Dyche's philosophy in that focus on the here and the now? Let's even get enough points to get into Europe, you know, scrapping over the line, having the kids on the bench and two goalkeepers, and then we'll address the transfer issues in the summer. Or do you think he's going to look at it and go, it's not in my nature, I want to play safe, we've lost players, I'm delighted, I've been waiting to put Jeff Hendrick in a podcast for ages, reported AC Milan target, Jeff Hendrick has left the club. This might be making it feel a little bit easier. How do you think he is going to approach these games? I do agree with Jonathan that the fans will be saying, go whole hog, you know, we might not be able to be at these games, but at least we can be sat in the pub watching Burnley against potentially Inter Milan or someone like that. But Dyche is the key here. How will he be looking to approach these final few games?
Well, I think he's a very competitive animal, so I think he'll be looking to win them. But I don't think he'd be delighted with Europa League qualification. Let's put it that way. I think he really felt that 2 years ago it had a major impact on their form and was a major part of the reason why they did struggle so much in the first half of the season. And you know, the halfway stage and even later that they were in deep, deep trouble and just about clawed their way out of it in the end. And you know, I was still covering them at the start of that season and in Europe, and I think you know, Dyche really felt that it did have an impact. And it's not just the extra games, we've seen how well drilled they are on the training ground, but if you're playing on a Sunday and in midweek you're playing on a Thursday in Turkey or something, then you know, you spend Tuesday preparing for the Europa League game, you spend Wednesday travelling, you play, you don't get back until Friday 4 or 5 a.m. and then you're playing on Sunday, you have to travel on a Saturday or something like that, and it takes a lot of time away from preparation on the training ground, and I think that had a big impact as well. And I think the bigger issue is that their squad is the fact they've lost these senior players, and to be fair, a lot of them have probably been going anyway, the likes of Legstins and Joe Hart and Lennon, and Jeff Hendrick's probably the one that he's disappointed to lose. But they're still four senior players that need replacing at a time when every club is counting the cost of playing without fans. Burnley are a very prudently run club. There's not a lot of money to spend there when the times are good. So I can't imagine they're going to be splashing the cash this summer, which makes it difficult just to kind of get the squad back to where it was this season, never mind build on it. So I think for that reason, I think there'd be real caution about going on a European tour again. Obviously, if they end up there by virtue of winning games, then it happens. But I think if they finished eighth and just missed out, I don't think I should be too disappointed with that.
Okay, prediction time. Jonathan, we'll go to you first on this. First of all, do Burnley get into the Europa League?
No, I think they'll just miss out. I mean, they've got a couple of tough fixtures coming up. So, you know, obviously today, Liverpool have won every single game at Anfield this season, so I can't see them winning today. And I think they'll just fall short. And perhaps, like Ty says, maybe they might just be happy to sort of miss out on a win and take a draw at some point along the line.
Ty, would you follow that? Jonathan, going for a Liverpool win today and Burnley just missing as the Europa League trapdoor closes?
I would think so, yeah. I mean, I think Burnley will give them a real game today at Anfield. Liverpool haven't been great since they won the league. The game last week against Villa was you know, a very difficult watch, and it wouldn't surprise me if it was the same again today. But Liverpool seem to always find a way of getting over the line at home. After that, I think Burnley's last three are probably all winnable. We've seen Wolves aren't in great nick recently, and they've got to go to Turf Moor. Then it's Norwich and Brighton. So I could see them picking up maybe 7 points at least from those last three games, which might well put them in the picture. But I do think they will just miss out.
Okay, fair enough. And quickly before we take a break, the question that we actually all really want to know about Burnley Football Club, Ty, is Jeff Hendrick going to AC Milan? He's got the haircut. Is he going? What do you reckon?
Well, I'm not as well connected there as I used to be, but I don't think anyone at Burnley is expecting Jeff Hendrick to be playing his football at the San Siro next year, let's put it that way.
Okay, well, unless he sensationally returns and Burnley qualify for the Europa League. So we never know. We'll put that down as keeping an eye on it. Okay, we've covered the bottom half of the table. After the break, we're going to be talking about the race for Europe as Sheffield United play host to Chelsea and Brighton take on Manchester City. Join us again in a few minutes.
Football Social Daily. Subscribe to the podcast now so you never miss an episode. Football Social Daily. Get daily news and updates on your team via your Amazon Alexa. Just ask, Alexa, open Sports Social.
Hello and welcome back to the Football Social Daily Premier League podcast. Now, don't forget, with the Premier League back in full swing, we here at the Football Social Daily team are as well. We're back to 7 days a week. We're available wherever you get your podcasts. And if you hit subscribe on this episode, you'll have a fresh one every single day. And if you're just interested in your own team and you're not too bothered about the other 19 sides in the Premier League, you can enable Sports Social updates on your Amazon Alexa device. Simply ask the device to enable Sports Social, select your team, and away you go. Now, before the break, we talked about the relegation battle. Now, we're going to snake our way up the Premier League ladder and talk about the race for Europe. And for me, the game of the weekend is Sheffield United at home to Chelsea. All the praise that Sheffield United have got this season, it kind of comes down to this for them. The next 2 weeks are probably going to define Sheffield United's season, because as much as we err on the side of caution and we say that we can't be unrealistic in our expectations, we all kind of agreed pre-lockdown that they look good for Europe. Hasn't started brilliantly for them on the restart, but they've got themselves back on the road. Two big wins in their last two games. Jonathan, I'm going to go to you first on this one. How has perceptions changed of Chris Wilder this season? I think a lot of Premier League fans have, you know, woken up to the fact that maybe they were a bit dismissive of him at the start of the campaign. But is it fair that so much of their season, that 38 games are essentially going to get shoved into 2 weeks?
Oh, I think he's done a fantastic job. And I think it's quite interesting that Pep Guardiola said that he'd learnt a lot from he'd learnt something from watching Chris Wilder's teams. And Pep's obviously the best, arguably the best coach in the world. So if he's learning something from Chris Wilder, that shows exactly how innovative he is. It's fantastic what they've done this season. You know, when they came back from lockdown and you thought, oh, well, then, you know, that's a shame. They've had a great season. They've not responded well to coming back. And that they're going to survive. Well done. Let's have a look at what they do next season. But all of a sudden, they sort of picked themselves up and given themselves a real shot at getting into Europe. And it's brilliant to watch. And like you say, this is the game of the weekend. And I know some fans are a bit mixed about these games behind closed doors, but this game is really worth watching, worth getting excited about. We've got this race for the top four, and Sheffield United are a really exciting side to watch, an interesting side to watch, and they'll give Chelsea a good game. And it's really fascinating to see whether they can squeeze into top seven, and I really hope they do.
Ty, the interesting thing for me when you look at them, I think Jonathan's 100% right there. A lot of fans and you know, even ourselves were in a position to kind of, after the first few games, say, oh, you know, the journey's over, they've done brilliantly, you know, top half, etc. But they refuse to bend to stereotypes and you know, take the easy option and just, you know, say, we'll just see out the season and keep our safety. Wilder wants Europe. We talked about Dyche before the break maybe not wanting Europe. Do you get the sense with Chris Wilder that he does want it as a recognition of how good his team are?
Yeah, I think he probably does. And, you know, it'd be a great stage for him as a manager to go on to and manage in Europe. And they have had a season that probably deserves Europa League football. You know, like Jonathan says, they are a fascinating team to watch. And, you know, when you're Chris Wilder and you've got Pep Guardiola this year saying he's learning something from you. Last year, I think Marcelo Bielsa called Wilder the most tactically interesting manager in the Championship. You know, that's seriously high praise in the coaching fraternity, and shows what a fantastic job he is doing there. And I think you would imagine he'll be on the radar of bigger clubs, with all due respect to Sheffield United. That goal, that last minute winner against Wolves in midweek, has really kind of rejuvenated their season, hasn't it, and brought life back into their season. They're running over the next couple of weeks is tricky with Chelsea and Leicester, but at the same time it almost puts things in their own hands. They win both of those and they might well be closing up on one of those two teams, especially with Leicester looking in not the best of form. So there is a real opportunity for them over the next couple of weeks. And I think that that win in midweek has probably really sort of sparked some life back into their season for the last four games.
And Jonathan, Ty's right, when you look at run-ins, and that's obviously where we're going to judge these teams by. Sheffield United are beating their rivals. 3-1 against Tottenham, and they played really well. Late point away at Burnley, and then beating Wolves, who are their most immediate rivals. Chelsea at home today, then Leicester away. At home to Everton, and then a final day away at Southampton, who are probably safe. They've got a little bit of a blend of enough rivals to keep them fresh, but enough teams that are just drifting along that they can go and just smash and grab a few easy points. I'm going to ask you a direct question, Jonathan. Do you think they're going to get into Europe? Have they done enough?
Well, I don't know. I'm not sure that's the easiest run-in. I mean, Chelsea need a win. Leicester need a win. They're fighting for that top four. Southampton have maybe been one of the surprise teams since lockdown. They've, you know, pulled out a string of results when you thought perhaps they just got not a lot to play for. So it's not the easiest of run-in. I think it's going to be very, very tough. I just fancy Chelsea have got so much riding on this today. I just fancy them to perhaps pick them off. And I think, you know, Arsenal or Spurs are going to win, are going to pick up points from their derby. So I just think they're going to miss out.
Okay, fair enough. Ty, when we look at Sheffield United's run, and you know, we're obviously excited to when a new Championship team comes up. I'm particularly got a bit riding on this right at the start of the season. We did our predictions, and our man Niall McCorn and Pete Hall, how they laughed at me when I predicted that Sheffield United would definitely get a top 10 finish. So I've got a lot of pride riding on this. Do you see it going that way, or do you agree with Jonathan that just when it comes to the crunch, they might just get squeezed out?
I think they might hold on and get in Europe. I think if they win one of these next, if they beat Chelsea or Leicester, I think that would probably be enough for them with the last two games. So, yeah, I think they've got a real chance, and I think Chelsea might find it tough today. I think the game at Stamford Bridge earlier in the season, Chelsea were 2-0 up and looked to be cruising there, and Wilder made a change, and Sheffield United got a point back and were the better side in the second half. So that suggests that he has perhaps worked Chelsea out and has a bit of an advantage over them. So I've got a sneaking feeling that Sheffield United might get the win today.
Fair enough. Chelsea, we're in a kind of an odd position with this Chelsea v United race to get into the top four. There's been a huge amount of attention on United, and rightfully so. Mason Greenwood, Anthony Martial, Bruno Fernandes, Paul Pogba are all in excellent form, and they've put Solskjaer's team right back into it. We've almost forgotten to talk about Chelsea in all of this. And aside from the West Ham defeat, they have looked good. They beat Manchester City. They've got Willian, who's leaving the club in a couple of weeks, scoring goals for them. Pulisic looks to be clicking into gear. Jonathan, when we look at this game, you've kind of tipped towards Chelsea beating Sheffield United. So to build on that, when you look at the games that they've got to come in the next week or so, do you think they've got enough to win their own race? They're in a different race to push for top four. To either squeeze United or Leicester out?
Yeah, I mean, although they've had a decent run of results, I don't think they've been awfully convincing. You know, they've been high-scoring games, 3-2 win against Chelsea, 3-2 defeat against West Ham. Obviously saw the game against City, and you know, City completely bossed that game until it was individual errors that led to that opener. Like you say, Pulisic is in five and form. Williams looking like he's doing everything he can to earn that new contract. You know, this is a big test. After this, you know, Norwich at home's probably going to be a gimme. They've probably gone, but they've got some hard games to come. It's a fascinating race. You know, United are absolutely flying. They seem unstoppable, but you think they must drop points between now and the end of the season. It's a really exciting race. Leicester are the ones that are the concern. They're the ones who've not really put it back together since lockdown. So of the three teams going for those two Champions League places that are left, you've got to think that Chelsea and United, you know, I would think that United are the form team, and then Chelsea are just going to edge ahead of Leicester.
Ty, would you agree with that? So Jonathan's going for Chelsea win today and them to get into top four. Would you follow that?
I think they'll probably get ahead of Leicester, yeah. I think Leicester have have really struggled since they've come back and have got some tricky games to come. So I do think Leicester might drop out of the picture. I mean, it shows what form and what momentum United have got, and that we're talking about a top four race with four games of the season to go. Yet I think most of us consider the banker for the two remaining top four places to be the team in fifth at the moment, and one of the third or fourth place teams dropping out. It just shows how well United are playing and how good their run of fixtures is, really. They've taken advantage of a pretty routine fixture list and have obviously got to go to Leicester on the last day. So I would certainly have United in there. Chelsea's experience will probably be a bit too much for Leicester. I mean, I think it would be a shame if Leicester do miss out. I mean, look like top four certainties for most of the season, but you know, their run of form and their run of kind of middling performances isn't really a new thing post-lockdown. This was going on for a good 6 weeks to 2 months but before the season was suspended as well, so that they have lost a fair bit of form and rhythm. So I do think it would be Leicester that drops out, yeah.
So just for the record, just because we're getting so many games crammed in that we might not have you on the show again before the end of the season, you're going Chelsea and United, Jonathan?
Chelsea and United.
Would you agree?
Yeah. I'm going United and Chelsea, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'll have United in third.
Wow, no time for any sort of sentimentality from you guys. The fairy tale of Leicester City, former Premier League champions, one of the best teams in the first half of the season, but as you say, have dropped off the grid in the second half. Final game today is Brighton at home to Manchester City. Now, Ty mentioned at the start that the 40-point mark is a little bit of a myth, particularly this season when so many things are not really following the rule book. I can kind of agree that Brighton are safe on 36 points. So I want to have a look at City. Now, given the fact that everything's lock, stock and barrel for them, they were never going to win the league on lockdown, obviously, short of a disaster for Liverpool. Champions League football, they just one more win to absolutely rubber stamp it. But it hasn't gone perfectly for Pep, has it, Jonathan? On the restart, excellent performance against Arsenal. Then they dropped away. Then they battered Liverpool. And then lost to Southampton and then reacted with the Newcastle. This kind of vice versa form, do you see that continuing until the end of the season?
Well, I think after this, once that top four is secure, I think we'll see a bit more rotation. The focus will switch to the FA Cup. We've got this game against Arsenal in the semi-final. And then obviously the end of the season, Champions League. So once the top four is done and dusted, then that can completely focus on those games. It's still silverware to play for. So, yeah, I think it could carry on. The big issue is can he address it before the start of next season? Because, you know, City set an incredible standard for two seasons. Liverpool have done even better this season. He was asked, you know, what we're looking at for next season in terms of a points total that's going to win the title, and it's going to be over 90 points again. It's been 98, 100, probably going to be over 100 points for the champions this season. So you can't see it being lower than 95. And if you're dropping points at Southampton, losing at Southampton, even losing at Chelsea, that's not going to be enough to catch Liverpool. So this season, yeah, it could continue before we see the season out. You know, it wouldn't be a huge surprise to see Brighton pick up something today. It's something that's got to be stopped before next year.
Ty, given the fact that we talked about run-ins, Man City, it's shooting ducks in a barrel territory for them. Brighton away, Bournemouth at home, Norwich at home, Watford away for their last four games. How do we see Pep approaching this? Are these games auditions for the players for that Real Madrid clash in August? Or do you think he's already got in mind how he's going to approach that? Because, as Jonathan rightly says, the focus now is on the FA Cup and then on the Champions League. How do you see him approaching these last four games? Because given the mixed form they've had post-lockdown, we can't really say that he's not taking his foot off the gas, because they have in terms of the results and in terms of the performances.
Yeah, I think I think Pep will probably see these four games as having some kind of bearing on what happens in the Champions League games. He's always spoken, you know, in virtually every press conference, he talks about the rhythm of his team and how his team needs rhythm, and they get that through playing games. So I agree with Jonathan that there will be rotation, but I think he'll still be keeping key players involved fairly regularly and playing strong sides, just so his team can get that rhythm and that momentum going ahead of playing Real Madrid. I think it's before the Real first leg, which seems months ago, because it was months ago now when they had a rearranged game shoved in the middle of that week or the week before, I think. And I think Pep was quite happy about it because it gave the team another 90 minutes to rediscover that rhythm after their mid-season break. So I think he will see these games, perhaps not as auditions necessarily. He's probably got a good idea of how he wants to play in against Madrid and in the Champions League, but I think he'll see him as an opportunity to get some rhythm. I mean, beyond that, I'm not sure City are going to learn a great deal from them. We know this team can be devastating on their day, and in at least a couple of these remaining games, they will probably be exactly that and will be fantastic. And at the same time, you wouldn't be surprised if they threw in another one of those performances that have dogged City for this season and even the past 18 months in a way, and throw in just one of those bizarre defeats that seems to plague them and is why they're so far behind Liverpool. And I don't think the remaining four games will tell us anything in terms of whether they can get that out of the system. I think that's A, going to take longer, and is B, going to require some significant work in the transfer market. So I think the only relevance of these four games is going to be on Pep trying to keep his players in rhythm and building up some form ahead of the Champions League.
Jonathan, one thing that I wanted to ask you, obviously you're covering Manchester City constantly, is this question of mentality. When they face Real Madrid in August, there's the potential that City will be coming off the back of four games against relegation candidates or relegated teams. They've lost the league to Liverpool by a huge margin. Real Madrid, on the other hand, are potentially going to confirm their first La Liga title since 2017. They're the opposite to this. They're eight games in a row picking up wins. They've overtaken Barcelona in the title race. When it comes to mentality and that little mental edge, as it stands now, that is in Real Madrid's favour. When we talk about being fresh and ready, they're actually playing really competitive games because they need to win to make sure Barcelona don't get back into it. Manchester City's season was decided in February or March, even if there wasn't a lockdown. Is that a concern for City, for Guardiola, that ahead of that game, Real Madrid mentally will be in a better place?
Slightly. I mean, it seems a little bit unfair. You go back to when City won in the Bernabeu, a fantastic result, and really, you weren't giving Real Madrid much of a chance coming back to City. You know, a full stadium, City playing well, Real Madrid having injuries. They've now got some of those players back. They seem very settled. They're grinding out good wins. They look like they're going to get the title sewn up in Spain. So, yeah, they will be flying into that game, and they've got nothing to lose now going into that. So, and City have got everything to lose because that has been the focus. But you know, you say they've got a couple of easy games. That's why perhaps the FA Cup is so important. They'll want to win that. You know, Pep quite often talks about this incredible record they've got of winning domestic trophies. I know we don't all count the Community Shield, but if you do, I think it's seven from the last nine trophies available that they've won. If they can get past Arsenal, then they're guaranteed a final against Chelsea or United. That's not going to be easy, you know, particularly against United the way they're going. That'll be a huge game. There'll be so much riding on it. I mean, that another one where a real shame that the fans won't be there for that. So they can build that momentum up. And in some ways, Pep's got that advantage where he can sort of almost handpick how he goes into these final games of the season, picking Laporte, De Bruyne, Sterling for certain games, giving them a rest when they need it, just nursing them through these final fixtures so they're ready, but they haven't got any muscle injuries, no niggles, anything like that. You know, Real Madrid's not going to be easy. They are without Sergio Ramos. You know, we know how important he is. So it's going to be a massive game, one to look forward to. But I think, you know, Pep's the best in the business and he'll have City more than ready for it.
Okay, fair enough. Gentlemen, we're going to call it there for today on the Football Social Daily Premier League podcast. We've made some big predictions regarding European qualification and relegation. We've made some not big predictions. Manchester City getting into the Champions League, we think, and a few other bits and pieces. Ty, Jonathan, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And don't forget, if you like what you listened to today, just hit subscribe on this episode and you can have a fresh episode of the Football Social Daily every single day. Wherever you get your podcasts, we're available right the way across the board. You can also leave us a quick review. We'd love to hear your views on the podcast, what you've been talking about, what you'd like us to talk about a bit more, what you'd like us to talk about a bit less even. And you can also keep up to date on your own team via your Amazon Alexa device. Simply ask it to enable Sports Social, pick your team, and you are good to go. Thanks very much, and we'll see you again very soon.
Football Social Daily. Subscribe to the podcast now so you never miss an episode.